Well, hi everyone. How's your internet doing these days? Have you paid attention to all the dynamics of the universe going on? Twisters create a really terrible situation in Oklahoma, and gee whiz, I just came back from the quiet little country of Canada where politics is taking on a whole new dimension. It actually may cause a disruption in the leadership of the country. Who knows? And then you have the financial threat of France going back into the great financial calamity of recession. And all this is expanding every day the more we spend time on our internet, on our smartphones, disconnecting from not so much the real world, but actually the real self. The value of who you are inside, that little sparkle of life, the stardust that makes you part of everything, the common consciousness of man. I'd like to welcome you to Esologic Radio, and I'm your host, Patricia Cleveland. And I'm here to not throw ideas at you and sell you things and, I don't know, get you to read another book. No. The purpose of this show is to get you to say, and slow your breath and still your thoughts and pull all that emotion that's swirling around in your head and telling you what to do to pull it down into your heart. Take a breath, say, and give yourself a chance. Not to expand and move outward into the dynamics of a dysfunctional world, but to reach within, to find yourself, and to understand that maybe not so much in the technological world, but in the natural world, you hold a massive place of importance, the potential of imagination. Creation just by using your thoughts. I'm an animal ecologist. My accomplishments in life have provided me with the skills of understanding not only the physical, structural, biochemical, perhaps emotional forms of balance, but also the relationship of natural imbalance using different dimensions of thought, different dimensions of energy, moving us from this physical form into actually understanding where the roots, the source of our creation, of this life experience, where it comes from, and how we can recenter ourselves, become stronger, more complete and whole by moving not towards the internet, but to actually stepping outside and taking our shoes off and running our fingers through the grass, taking our toes and feeling them touch the warmth of the earth. And while we do that, just stand still and honor ourselves, the strength within. And if we can't really become still and quiet in our minds, if those stressful voices from the news or the bank or maybe family dynamics get in the way of touching the truth of what you hide inside. Just understand that when you take a breath and look around, hug your dog, touch a tree, or just stand in the presence of the sun, that there's a lesson to be learned, resources to be found, and all of this is meant to move us away from the world of fact and bring us back into the natural existence of the self. To be still in the middle of a tornado, to direct your intent, to create a desire. In all of this dynamics, nature holds a role. She is the governess of the physical world of man. And her agents, well, her agents come in many shapes and forms. Some of them are furry, and some of them are scaly, and some of them are wet, and some of them are green. And whatever you're attracted to, cherish it, because that is the place where you can connect. You can reflect. You can discharge some of the stress of who you are, the stuff that wants to cling to your energy field, and come home and replay the dynamics of a terrible day. Just reach out and stroke your cat. Take your dog for a walk. Maybe be like me and go to the barn and just stand in the presence of a horse. You see, we are changing. We're moving away from our natural connections. And when we do that, we're kind of like cutting ourselves off, becoming deaf, unable to hear the natural rhythms, the music of life. No. Instead, we get expanded, pulled outwards into that dynamics. The stuff that we think we need to participate in, the stuff that we're led to believe that, hey, you're an empowered person, you can control this. Your donation will make a difference. And maybe it does. But will you ever know it? I think sometimes we have to step back and donate and contribute in a different way. And that is by coming into your center. Just taking a deep breath, saying, And in that moment, hold a state of compassion. Be neutral. And when I say compassion, it's not like, oh, I feel sorry for myself. Oh, I had a bad day. Oh, no, can't cope. No, take compassion. Just say, you know what? I'm an energy being and I chose to fit into this physical form. And of all the beings that are on this planet, I chose to stand upright. I chose to take on the form that challenges the universe of nature. I chose to take on the intellect that impairs me from seeing and sensing and connecting in a conscious way to the environment that everything else on this planet interacts and lives in. Take compassion on yourself. You chose to be a foreigner in a very, very large world of experiences and invisible resources. The things that we throw around like toxic waste, that energy, that emotional content that we live on, thrive on, that stuff gets thrown around. And in the natural world, the animals take that energy, that emotion, and they neutralize it. Sometimes it gets transformed into a little bit of an aggression, say between two dogs who don't really know how to communicate. Or in the case of horses, they'll argue over who's the sexiest mare, who is the dominant mare that has the right to have offspring. And other than that, the emotional state of an animal is that a state of neutral, compassion, or love. Can we say the same? No. And if more of us would actually just learn how to take our emotions and bring them inward and use them to create a positive place, not outside, but emotionally within. Just think of what we could accomplish. So take a breath and say, And I'll be back. This is Isologic Radio. slow down and take a breath. We are getting pushed around and redefined and reshaped every day. There's different paradigms of knowledge. I just keep seeing these shifts. Our history, our science, our belief systems are getting rewritten to take on a new shape, a new form, to interact with life in a different way. And have you ever tried to sit down and actually discuss a new science or the new history that's coming out to somebody who is 80 years old? They shake their heads, they're lost. Their time has not been able to resonate, stay current, and move at the same speed of life as you or I. Now, it doesn't mean to say that their life doesn't hold truth. It does. Because in their way of being, in their connection, in the resonant field that they exist in, that is a fact. And they've been able to take that energy and create something that satisfied their needs, their desires, and their dreams. But when they try to move into our understanding about maybe there's an alternative history out there or an alternative science, and it's not based on the solidness of who we are, but instead of it's based on the unknown potential of energy, the reshaping of light particles, the employing of our emotional states, not outwards but inwards, and charging them with not being negative, but to spread outward from who we are, to create a positive envelope, an environment that may enhance our presence in the lives of other people. Wow, that would be quite a head trip for somebody who has never, ever experienced an energetic exchange, never seen a ghost, never touched the air and had an electrical spark, or just sat down and had a moment of deja vu. But the paradigms between who we are, nature, and the past create magic. And in these places of magic, we form language. And what I'm noticing is there's a shift. We're becoming unnatural in our language. We touch the keyboard to text our friend, and there's no love. There's no laughter. It's just words that create strings of facts. Going to the grocery store. Need to get gas. Had a bad day. But that's as far as it goes. And when we send out internet exchanges, we get these lovely words, these letters, and sometimes people express their frustration. But how do you interpret it? Because you see, the language of written word doesn't carry the harmonics of a voice. The magic of energy. So when I'm listening to people talk these days, it's, oh, I had success. I am successful. And I listen to that word, success. And whether I'm a linguistic or whether it's valid in the concepts of foundations of language, when somebody uses the word success, my mind breaks it down like a magic spell. Yes, success is S-U-C. And then there's another C-E-S-S. Suck. And in modern society today, we all desire to be successful. And we look at what goes on when we're successful. There's an energetic exchange. There's a context there that's hidden in the magic of our language. Are you successful? Or are you accomplished? The difference to me is when you're successful, you reach outwards to accomplish something. Whether it's to gain status or wealth. Or maybe you're in the military and you go out there and you're successful at your campaign. success. To me, it's like you're sucking the essence from outside of who you are. Yeah, sucking the essence of a spirit. And when you're successful, you have sucked that essence until you are full. And that's a form of energetic vampirism. And I work with animals who are owned by successful people. And it's very interesting to watch a horse who is owned by somebody who, let's say, has wealth. That animal is devoid of knowing himself. He knows he's an asset. He holds value. But inside, he doesn't know who he is. He's hollow. And he struggles to reach out to the other animals, the other horses in the field. And if they're of the same type, hollow, without emotion, without the ability to naturally see themselves, then they start throwing their emotions at each other, and they start biting and kicking and fighting over the food. They're out of balance. The energy of the animal is a direct reflection of the people they interact with. At the farm here, I have looked at my life, and maybe it's not perfect, but I consider myself to be an accomplished person. Now, when I say accomplished person, it doesn't mean that I've gone out and I have sucked the essence of somebody else. I have used the assets, the energetic assets of other things. No. Instead, I have honored myself. I have always spoke my truth. Even when it's hard, I speak my truth. I hold my essence within. And I ask myself to connect beyond this physical domain that seems to be very limited in its resources, and to expand inward and outward at the same time into other ways of thinking. And when I've done that, geez, it's like lightning bolts of knowledge and opportunities show up at my doorstep. I accomplish through using the higher self, the skills of knowing. And when I do that, I'm complete and I'm whole. And I'm not struggling to get attention, and I'm not struggling for assets, and I'm not afraid. And when I go and I work with my animals, or people come to visit the farm, they stand there and they go, "Well, why is your dog like that? She's functioning as if she's as smart as a human being." And my reply is, "Well, that's because she is." And our horses, they don't fight and they don't kick. And I can walk out there with a pail of grain, and they will stand and wait their turn to eat from my hand. Or I can put it on the ground. And in a normal herd of horses owned by successful people, these horses will fight and kick at the farm here, a place of accomplishment. The animals stand still. They'll nuzzle up against each other, and you will see four or five horses eating out of one pile at the same time. There's no stress. There's no dynamics. No, because at this moment, in their own self-accomplishment, they're whole. Their energy is balanced, and they can make the best out of life. So take a breath. This is Isla Logic Radio, and I'll be back in a minute. Oh man, just take a look around you. What have you placed your value in? things? What drives your state of stress? Money? No. Fear? Most probably. Yes, and all around those things, there is an assignment of energy, emotional energy. And a lot of us are struggling. And because of that, our animals are struggling, especially the ones that live at home. Yeah, our cats and our dogs are struggling. Because you see, they want to love us and they want to interact with us. And they almost look at us sometimes like they're the comedians, trying to make us laugh. Bring joy back into our day. Because you see, they don't understand the world of facts and they don't understand the world of material things. They understand the world of energy and they know how to make energy work for themselves. And sometimes I think they really, really try hard to get us to pay attention. I can tell you a story about a horse I met up in Canada. His name's Elmo, and Elmo is a wonderful, wonderful chestnut quarter horse. Oh, man, he's well-bred. He's got, his father is some amazing, important horse, and his mother, she was an important horse, too, but she helped him out quite a bit. She installed self-awareness, love. The knowing that regardless of how imperfect Elmo is, that he's always perfect. Yeah, that was quite a gift. And Elmo, he grew up to be a quarter horse that went into the show ring. And his discipline was to be a Western pleasure horse. And he did the best job he could. He went out there and he just went as slow as his legs would take him and carry his owner around and they would win. And they won one ribbon after another and this accumulated into points. And the owner became successful because she had a horse who was accomplished within knowing who he is. His self-pride, his essence of within, his perfection. And the human rode the horse and succeeded. And the horse accomplished the knowing of his higher self. And the pressure of success demanded that the owner put more pressure on Elmo. And so they changed how his feet were shod. That means the angle of how his feet touched the ground. And this changed how his joints moved. And it altered his muscles. And it twisted and put too much pressure into his shoulders and the base of his neck. And Elmo started to get physically uncomfortable. But his owner was successful. And by geez, Elmo was going to go back out into that show ring and continue to create social status and wealth for his owner. And it continued to get worse. And Elmo got to the point where it was just so painful. He said, "No, man, I can't do this anymore. I'm not being honest with myself. And every time I go out there and it's painful and you sit on top of my back and you touch me with your spur or shake the bit in my mouth or put some kind of apparatus on me to make me conform to the image of your success. It basically tells me that I am not perfect anymore, that I am less than who I am. And my mother taught me that I am perfect just the way I am every moment of the day." And so Elmo started to tell his owner, "Hey, buddy, don't pull on that bit. Don't sit on me like that. Everything in my body is perfect until you show up." And Elmo went into resistance and he got really aggressive. And very, very ugly with people. And because he no longer fit the picture of success, he was sold to somebody else who said, hey, man, I can manage this horse. I can control him. I can change his behavior pattern. And so Elmo went through most probably 3 or 4 different owners, trainers, who saw that he, Elmo, the super fantastic show horse that had 200 American Quarter Horse points accumulated on his record, was worth something. He had value. And they all wanted to have a taste of success at the price of Elmo's physical and emotional and energetic well-being. And by the time I met Elmo, he was on his way to be slaughtered. And a wonderful person decided that she didn't know very much about horses. Well, she knew something about horses, but she didn't understand anything about a horse like Elmo. You see, Elmo got to the point where you put a halter on him and walk him out of his stall, and he'd immediately take his nose and slam it into your chest to push you back out of his energy space. But people didn't understand that. And so they would take the shank and push down on it or flip it in his face and tell him, no, don't push me around. And Elmo's going, man, you're in my energy field and it just hurts me so much to have you stand in front of me and remind me that in your world I'm not successful and that in your world I'm less because I can't bring wealth and status to who you are. And because of that, you think you have the right to change me and to inflict physical pain, even though you don't understand what you're doing to my body, or to accept my feelings, or to interpret my complaints as something to pay attention to rather than to consider them as a personal insult and insult me back. So Elmo started hurting people, and I met him just as the last chance person. His owner had tried everything she knew to do, and Elmo would push her and shove her. He'd bitten 3 or 4 people, kicked people. He was getting dangerous. And what did I do? I stood in Elmo's space, and he pushed me. And I took my fingers and I touched him in such a way that he'd never been touched before. Oh, let me correct that. Yes, he had been touched like that once before. And it was when he was born and his mother took her muzzle and took and just softly blew across his skin, ruffling his fur with the softness of her touch. That nurturing sensation ripples through the body of a horse. It opens up the energetic doorways of self-awareness, the return to a moment of absolute perfection. Not the place of fact, not the place of physical pain, not the place of wealth, status, or stress. The place of inner stillness. That place we all want to reach out to and hold and maintain for a very long time. Yes, in a touch, you can transform the reality. So just take a breath and stay tuned. This is Isologic Radio, and I'll be right back. Just taken your fingers and just ever so lightly brushed them across your skin. Whether you do it across the cheek of your face or along the skin on your forearms or maybe touch the underside of your wrist. Just gingerly touch it, like you're touching the soft edges of a butterfly's wing. You feel the tingling sensation. It kind of sometimes makes you want to scratch and say, hey, I felt that. My physical body felt the energetic exchange between my fingertips and who I am. You can practice that with yourself, your children, your animals, your spouse. Go and try it with a plant. See how it feels. You see, we tend to touch things really like they're hard and solid. But in reality, everything's just particles. It's soft, it's flowing, undulates, it changes shape and form, all based on the intent, the emotion of our touch. So when I was working with Elmo, and I have to really explain that Elmo was a red horse. Just like red-haired people, red horses are sensitive. They are very receptive to changes in the emotional reactions of people around them. The harmonics of the sound, the touch of the wind, the content of the minerals in their food, and the introduction of artificial things like medication and putting on horseshoes. Yeah. Horseshoes actually scramble the energetic exchange that runs from the bottom of a horse's foot to the ground. Just like the energetic exchange in your body, when you wear shoes and you take them off and you feel the sensation of grass and earth under your feet. Those are the, let's say, the flow of energy that goes through your acupuncture meridians. They ground out, they go to the ground. The same thing with a horse. But when you put shoes on a horse, that energy can't get to the ground. The metal of a shoe actually acts like a mix master and it scrambles up all the frequencies. And so when I work with horses, we try to get the people to take the shoes off the horse's feet so they can just be like you or I when we stand out on the grass. They can connect to the earth and the energy that's stuck inside them stops bouncing around because it has a place to go. But in Elmo's case, he was so messed up. He had the anger imprint of three or four humans who had tried to alter his behavior. And his behavior wasn't the problem. It was the pain that had seated itself in his body and twisted him up, collapsed his system, made him painful because he was twisted and he couldn't use himself the way he used to. Yes, all of that trapped human intent, our emotional waves, stuck in the body of an animal that could not discharge himself by just going out and walking on the grass. Even if Elmo could have done that much, he would have felt a little bit better. He wouldn't have been angry at the people around him. I bet you know people in your lives that kind of are grumpy or they have these really big mood swings. Like you could be doing something all for yourself and next thing you know, this person's in your space and they're throwing maybe responsibility, blame. Or maybe they're trying to control everything you're about to do. Or maybe they just walk into the room and for no reason at all, you happen to be the person that they dump on. They dump all their trapped emotion. And people like that are out of balance. They're energetically out of balance. And most of the time, these are the type of people that like to deal with facts. They have no creative expression of the higher self. They don't go within. They're always pushing outwards, trying to get rebalanced by doing these explosive exchanges of emotion. And if you stand in neutral and have compassion and let the storm rage past you, they'll disengage, they'll go away, they'll move on. Well, Elmo was one of those storms. He was big and he was raging because he had all this trapped human energy in him, and he was painful. Now, what I do is a little odd. I rebirth the animal. I ask the animal to go back in his energetic self and transform his physical body. And it works. It's the process of natural adaptation. And when I can change the energetic harmonics through touch, through stimulating certain points in the body, I open up these gateways. And the gateways allow the trapped energy of rage and lack of pride, the disconnection from accomplishing the value or the connection with the higher essence, the self, the universal consciousness that we all plug into. Yes, what I do is I open up the gateways. And they're not just the physical gateways, but there's gateways of energy, and then there's gateways between the different dimensions of physical realms, the realms of energy, non-energy, physical, non-physical. So this is a very complicated, multidimensional task that I do. And sometimes it takes a little while for the recipient, in this case, Elmo, to actually go through the transition of an energetic makeover that influences his physical form. So I applied my craft, and his wonderful owner stood in my presence, and she watched. And to help people who are physically focused on life, I take and I do a back tracing, a profile, an outline of the top line of the horse. And then after I do this process, this reawakening of the body, we go back and we retrace the profile of the horse. And it helps the owner, the people that don't think the way I do, they can actually see how the body physically starts to change. The top line, the silhouette of the horse, will change in every situation where I apply this technique. So the owner, she was very good. She helped me, and Elmo struggled. He fought. He didn't want to change. He didn't want us in his space. He didn't want to participate. And we stood, and we offered a chance. And finally, he felt comfortable. There was no whips, and there was no chain, and there was no force. And he surrendered, and he volunteered. And he let go of the first very complicated layer of human desires for success. And when he did this, his body started to change. And so did his rage. You see, in most cases, an animal will open up these gateways, and he will reach outwards, and he'll be able to connect to the higher essence of who he is. He will break the unnecessary cords between himself and the humans around him. Or he may be able to actually go back to the traumas of the past and neutralize them with his own love. But in Elmo's case, he didn't know how to manage any of this transformational energy. He started acting out. And if I had not been there and two or three other people were not present, Elmo would have taken off and dragged his owner all over the fields. He was angry. His emotional upheaval became explosive. He became this volcano. He started saying, "I can't stand still. I can't do anything you ask me to." And at that moment, I said, "We need to move out of this space and let him have his own place to realize, to see and feel the truth of who he is." And the owner put him out, and she returned sobbing in tears. Her success, her ability to save this horse's life was failing. Her success as the rescuer was not being satisfied. And in that moment, I realized that I needed to change the harmonics, the intent of this situation. So take a breath. Just sigh inside. This is Easologic Radio. I'll be back. You know, you think life is really, really simple, and you find that, man, if I go outside of my little cocoon, my little space, it gets very, very complicated. And then you become psychically aware. Then you become energetically aware. And you understand that that complication is only the imbalance of other people's disregard for their self. Their surrender of their energy to something other than who they are. And the same thing goes for our animals. And if you ever have any questions or you need help with an animal situation, or you would like to come on out and join one of our workshops, you can find more information by going to our website. It's actually under a different name. It's called the Balanced Horse Project. And you can find it on the internet, the Balanced Horse Project at .net. You can also find the Balanced Horse Project on Facebook. Yep. Or if you want to drop me an email, you can do that by reaching out to easologicradio@gmail.com. Wow. You know, we try to rescue animals and we judge the situation of accomplishment on our success of reaching out and applying our status, our wealth, or transitional energy onto situations. And that was the issue with Elmo. He couldn't get any better. He wanted to. I opened up the gateways and I invited him to see a new way of being. So he could transform the pain in his body into a balanced state so that he could harmonically interact with everything and everybody around him. But as soon as I opened those gates, his owner, the rescuer, projected her desire to succeed by saving the life of Elmo. And that infuriated Elmo in his fragile state of being reborn. And it was pretty painful for the owner. It was like a slap in the face, a rejection, an insult. I failed. I did not succeed. I did not rescue this horse, and therefore I can't look like I socially accomplished something. And so I had to ask the owner to move out of this horse's life, only for a little while. And I was able to find a trainer who didn't understand anything about what I did. She just had the best interests of waiting for this horse to make a commitment to work with a human being. And as this new trainer, a natural horse person, started to interact with the horse, I would say 24 hours after I had encountered the failure of success based on other people's standards, the horse started to change. The trainer invited her students, who knew Elmo, the dangerous horse, to watch how different the interaction had become. And the owner, she came to the barn, and she stood away from the horse, and she watched the interaction. The horse no longer hit you with his head when he came out of the stall. The horse wasn't fidgeting and pushing and biting and chewing and trying to control the environment around him. Instead, Almo softened his eyes. He lowered his head. He was able to stand still. He was able to accomplish connecting with the essence of who he is. The chains of success, the struggle to expand outward to be seen, to reach out and grab somebody else's essence, their energy, to create balance within the weakened self of Elmo was no longer part of his world. Elmo had returned to being whole, to understanding the perfection of who he is within his understanding of the natural world of a horse. And when these barriers fell away, Elmo's energy system connected to everything that he knows to be true. His emotions, the desire to create a better life. And when he has this ability to connect and be balanced, it projects outward, creates a stillness, the honesty of a balanced horse. And when he's balanced, he creates an environment of confidence for others, for the people that knew him to be dangerous, for the people that were afraid to be in his space. He creates an envelope of solid, confident peace, accomplishment at being who he is. That is a whole horse, an energetic consciousness that knows who he is and how to make this work. So take a look at what's being reflected at you today. Is your world getting big, fractious, loud? Is your dog bouncing up and down and dragging you around on the end of his leash? Well, maybe it's time for you to look at the values you hold. Maybe instead of rushing out after listening to this show, take a minute. Take a moment. Breathe in. Say, yes, value who you are. Open the gateways to not the fact, but your imagination. And give yourself permission to take all that stressful energy that's bouncing around like commanding voices in your mind and say, hey, I'm going to give myself permission to pull that energy into forming a different approach. Maybe not looking at myself as successful or incomplete and poor, but just being, and take each moment, each breath of my day to do the best I can. And by being the best I can, I'll influence other people around me. And if you believe in karma or dharma, perhaps you will attract something really good in your day. Yes, working with animals teaches me a lot. So don't be a shy person. Say hey to East Logic Radio. And stay tuned next Tuesday. I'll be back. This is Patricia Cleveland. Think good thoughts and have a wonderful day.